Blog Talk Radio.
You have made it to Stu and the Nun, an online radio show that looks to inform, educate, and hopefully make you laugh. Stu and the Nun is a show focused on national security, policy, politics, and selfless service. We do this by not only interviewing guests, but also sharing our perspectives and asking you, the listener, to interact with us on our show chat room, via our Facebook page, and on Twitter. Hello and welcome everyone to another episode of Stu and the Nun Radio. Boy, are we excited to be talking to you all tonight. This is Stu, and I welcome you here to episode 24, and I want to welcome my good brother from another motherland, my bald brother from down under, he's south of me, not really from Australia, but anyways, my good buddy Toby, how you doing, Nun?
I'm good. I mean, I'm not from down under, though. I'm from Texas. By way of Canada, which is above you, so I'm not sure how that works. Perhaps
yeah.
I got you surrounded, the baldness. And yes, I am bald again, to include my face, due to an unscheduled shaving accident. I no longer am rocking facial hair, so I'm exceptionally bald tonight.
What'd you do? You get the hiccups while you're shaving, or what?
Well, I'm actually out here in California working with the Mighty Oaks Warrior Programs, and I was cleaning myself up for a presentation, and I didn't pack my trimmer, so I borrowed some, and next thing I know, I am going full-on facially bald. I shed a sweet tear, but knowing that Samson's power truly wasn't in the hair, I'm ready to face the world again looking like a 13-year-old boy. Slightly fat, 13-year-old boy.
Well, some may be into that, but, you know, not sure. But anyways, all right, well, good to have you, brother. And, man, do we have a great show for everybody tonight, don't we?
I'm pretty excited, you know, like lots of great things happening. I know we're going to announce some things later in the show, but it's fantastic to see how the blogging community has come together on different things and how the relationships created years ago through comparing like-minded articles online has transpired into friendships, and then to see people within that community just excel. Guys like Colby Bulzer that's been on the show, Matt Gallagher that's coming up on an upcoming episode, and you know, his new book that's dropping, to like people like tonight's guest. Super flattered and honored to be part of that community, especially when they get their neck hairs up and do amazing things.
Yeah, it's you know, you're probably like me. I would imagine you kind of pinch yourself every once in a while and go, "Man, how am I a part of this? Like, how did all this happen?" Right? I was just writing a blog, and next thing you know, we're talking to great folks like this, you know, and developing great friendship. I mean, you and I would never have met, right? You and I would never have known each other if it wasn't for that.
No, I mean, like, that's how this all came to be. You know, I remember a drunken partying night that you and
what?
I... And
then, what?
Yeah, no, you and I have been known to partake in intoxicants. But there was a third member back then, and he didn't drink as much as we did, and I think that's due to his faith. But we like Jesus, and he likes wine, so that's that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. But the it's amazing how that blog community has grown in different ways and gone different directions. Obviously, the blogosphere is not what it used to be. But, I mean, seeing our friends like Uncle Jimbo, Jim Hansen on Fox News on a constant basis, seeing, you know, amazing guys like Matt Burden, you know, it's guys like Ricky John running for Congress now. Really excited to have him on an upcoming show as well. And there's just amazing folks doing cool stuff. New York Times bestsellers, guys making movies. Holy moly, just all kinds of cool, neat stuff going on. It's, we're all grown up, Troy. That's why we're bald.
Yep, we're that's all right. But speaking of wine, Partaken, just to let you know, I'm not sure what you are, but tonight sampling a new blend. I'm trying out here, called Rod and Rifle American Blended Whiskey.
Oh.
Conserving America's heritage and our hunting and fishing heritage. So it is Rod and Rifle American Blended Whiskey. So I'm checking it out here and seeing how it works out. Made in America, 100% aged whiskey by in Georgia. So I'll let you know how it works out. But that's tonight's free plug of the night. And, of course, as always, this show is brought to you by Veteran Outdoors, Warrior Media Solutions, and BooHammer.com. So, just in case you're wondering.
What it's not brought to you by, though, is, man, what a lot of press the Wounded Warrior Project has been getting recently. From exposés done by CBS News to New York Times to blog postings to Facebook, just blowing up. That so much that their board of directors have issued a press release. Quite an interesting development. There's been a lot of hatred and dissent and confusion brewing within the veteran community for the Wounded Warrior Project for quite some time. And it's interesting to see how this like bubble is starting to burst. And I'm personally just popping popcorn and sitting back to watch how it all goes, because I love the drama. I mean, this is about as American soap opera as you can get.
Yeah. It, you know, what do they say? Where there's smoke, there's fire. I don't know. We'll see what happens, but yeah, that's just what it is. But yeah, it is a lot of drama, a lot of stuff going on this week. And for those that are tuning in here to Stu and the Nun, if you are tuning in for the first time or the first time in a while, because maybe you've seen our plug I've been putting out there today about a big announcement tonight, that'll be coming up later on in the show, so make sure you stay tuned in. We are very excited. I will tell you right now, drop you a little bit right now, this guest is coming on February 16th. That is in 2 weeks from tonight, February 16th. So I think once we announce this guest, we're going to depend on you, our listeners, our fans, those of you that just tune in for the first time, to help us spread the word for this exclusive guest we'll be having on. But in the meantime, tonight, I do want to talk a little bit about our guest we're going to have on tonight. Susan Katz Keating is a phenomenal investigative journalist specializing in national security. She's been a correspondent for Soldier Fortune magazine and for People. She does a lot of stuff for People magazine. She's covered everything from Bo Bergdahl case to the raid on Osama bin Laden. You know, things that have happened in the combat zone. She's most recently written about the females that graduated Ranger School, something near and dear to our friend Shard's heart, which, by the way, Toby, Shard says that now you can get a good seal with your pro mask now that you have smoothed up your face like a good soldier. So he's looking out for you. You know, there may be another Jade Helm in Texas sometime soon. You may need to have that pro mask nearby, but, you know, it's a good thing that Shard's thinking about that.
Okay.
But anyways.
I mean, nothing makes me happier to know than my friends are concerned about the seal of my, you know, M40 pro mask, protective mask.
So back to Sue. So she's also an author of a book called Prisoners of Hope, Exploiting the POW/MIA Myth in America. Her and I have had a lot of time. My family is very close to that topic, and her and I have known some of the same people in that arena. But she has been her work has been in Time, Reader's Digest, New York Times. I mean, just all over the place, Wall Street Journal. She is a founding trustee of the National Museum of Americans in Wartime. She serves on the board of Cooking with the Troops, and she's also on something I found out we're going to talk to her about tonight, Toby, because we've got some recent developments, is she is, if I can bring it up so I make sure I get the right title here. Let me bring it up. She is also on the draft board. So we're going to be talking to her about the Marine Commandant today and some other folks that are saying it's time to start drafting women because of women are allowed in all parts of the military. So I thought that was pretty convenient that she serves on the draft board. So I did not know that about that. And she's also been hanging out, went on tour with our good friends Madison Rising, who you hear at the start of the show, and who we've had on this show. So she went on tour with them for a while. So we got a lot of stuff. We're going to be hard pressed to pack into an hour. You know what I'm saying?
Well, the cool thing is it makes the hour go fast. The sad part is the hour goes fast. But I'm so excited to talk to her because, one, I have questions. You know, like I want to know, you know, I know that they can't publish everything that, you know, she wrote for people, for the gals and those high-speed soldiers, those accomplished female warfighters that graduated Ranger School, you know, and I want to hear more about it. You know, I hear the rumblings on the interwebs of, you know, conspiracy, and I know that with a certain gentleman from, you know, a Midwestern state or perhaps Oklahoma that's, you know, trying to get records and that stuff. But, like, really like to hear, you know, from her, you know, who's, like, kind of objectively looking at all the different things. I'm super excited to find out about the draft. On one hand, I was like, well, if they want to be there, then they need to be in the draft. And then I realized I'm the father of a amazing, beautiful little girl, and I got scared. And, you know, it's like I'm all over the place with that. But I'm also excited because I really want to give her the opportunity to talk about her book. It's such a interesting topic, and it's such a relevant topic in American military culture. And then, of course, you know, like with all that she does, she still has time to be on the board of a charity, and we want to hear the great things that doing as well. So,
right. Well, with that, you spun her up great. You segued her right in. So I'm going to bring our good friend Susan Katz-Keating right here on the show here on Stu and the Nun. Welcome, Susan, to the show.
Hey, guys. Wow, thank you so much. What an intro, and great to be here. Thanks so much for having me on.
Hey, no problem. As you heard, Toby is known as the fanboy of the show, and he was fanboying all over you there.
I got to hype somebody up.
Yeah.
So, Toby, small bills as usual? Like, do you want that cash, or how do you want that?
No. Typically in Canadian funds.
Okay.
I hear it's strong these days. Or Iraqi dinar. I've saved a lot of it. I hear it's going to be big one day. But no, Susan, welcome to the show. It's been a couple of years since you and I have actually, you know, spoken directly. We're excited to have you on, and, you know, you've got so much going on. If you don't mind, I'd love to go back and just start off, because I'm the hype guy, I'm the fanboy. Let's hype up your book. Let's talk about your book. Because I think this is such a relevant topic in our military history and our military culture here in America. And, you know, the exploitation of it, the misunderstanding of it, you know, people don't realize that we have an entire command dedicated to it. So let's go back and I'll let you introduce your book and talk a little bit about it while Troy, you know, works his voodoo magic on the keyboard and gets a link to it put up on our Facebook and site.
Oh, okay. Well, the book is called Prisoners of Hope, Exploiting the POW MIA Myth in America. And it's been out, actually, for quite a long time. Gosh, that came out, years ago. And the book took sort of two approaches. One was to explain what the POWs actually went through while they were in captivity in Vietnam, and the types of conditions that they were kept in, and spoke to the likelihood of whether any were, in fact, alive in captivity through the Reagan administration. And then the other part of the book was to talk about people who had exploited the vulnerable family members by holding out unrealistic hope and sometimes outright scams, claiming that their loved ones were, in fact, alive and well and were being, you know, moved from spot to spot, and only the right amount of money were given, then the loved one could be brought home.
Yeah. Well, you know, Susan, you and I have talked about great lengths. I kind of led into at the beginning that we have some personal connections on that, and maybe we don't see all eye to eye, and we have our different sources and intel. But I think the biggest thing, we don't see eye to eye, I think, on everything you have in the book, but I think the biggest thing is there definitely were some potential exploitation but you have that with like everything, right? Raising people's hopes and that kind of stuff in certain aspects. But you're right. It has been out for a while. It's been out longer than I thought. But I guess, you know, we've known each other a long time.
We really have, yeah. Yeah. It's been a long time since I've seen you, Troy.
He's not better looking than the last time, unfortunately. start looking younger as
that.
I get older.
Of course you do. Yes, I do too, surprisingly enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. You've had a lot of stuff going on since then. You have written some great story. You've written for a lot of different outlets and media outlets. Now, are you? I know you do a lot of stuff for people. Are you full time with people, or do you just are you like a part time kind of contractor with them? Are you more of like an independent writer?
I'm an independent. I write for People magazine on a story by story basis, and I also write for Soldier of Fortune, and I write under contract for the National Guard. So I do a lot of combat stories and like history legacy stories for the National Guard's GX magazine. I've got a story in the current issue. I had a great combat story on the cover of Soldier of Fortune in July, and more stuff is happening with that as well.
Well, I'm a big fan of GX magazine. So we have something in common. I too have dropped a piece of prose down for them once or twice. I love Keith Kawasaki, one of the greatest dudes out there for a short guy. And he actually came and embedded with us for a short period of time, and just really, you know, great stuff that IO Studios and GX Magazine are doing there, telling the citizen soldier story. And knowing that you're involved, that's awesome, because, you know, you have such a great style. You're really, you know, to the point. And I like it. If you don't mind, I'd love to talk to you a little bit about some of your recent writing with People in terms of, you know, all this hubbub and, you know, Fluffgate or whatever you want to call it that people are calling or the interwebs are talking about what happened down at, you know, Fort Benning with these female warfighters graduating. I mean, you wrote a great piece about it, but there's still all this, like, dissension, and you've addressed that. How's that going? Is this battle still going? Are we going to hear more from you on this subject? Because I personally don't think the story's done, not from a conspiracy theorist part, but, like, okay, now, like, the seal's been cracked. We're going to start seeing regular appearances, and we're going to start seeing a change within the rank and file.
Well, now here's the thing with People magazine, and I'm speaking just as an independent journalist right now. I'm not speaking on behalf of People, but for anything regarding stories that have appeared like in the magazine or in digital, it goes through the People PR department. So, my stories are, like, they're already published. You know, they're on the line. They're on digital, and at the moment, you know, things are just sort of sitting right there, where we left them.
Susan, I get a chance to tell Toby, hey, we're not going to be able to dive too deep into this issue. Susan and I were kind of chatting about that. I didn't get a chance to tell him, like, we're only going to be able to go so far into this because, yeah, it's got all the legal mumbo-jumbo and the lawyers and so on and so forth.
Information that would have been good before the interview, my brother. But, hey, that's okay.
Yeah.
Hey, is this a drinking game now? Do we all take a shot of Jack Daniels? Like,
what a great idea, Susan.
Okay, well, here you go, guys.
Brilliant.
I don't drink that ass water that's filtered through charcoal. I drink a bit of whiskey, but I'm having a sip right now. But anyway.
Okay, bottoms up, dudes.
Like you said, you've written it. You've put some stuff out there. There's a whole bunch of other stuff going on. Can you comment on, is that one senator, is his, like, case or request for records still open? I haven't seen anything in lately, so I don't know. I mean, can you comment on that?
In all honesty, I'm not up to speed on what he's doing, you know, or what's going on. I've moved a couple of different stories that I've done for people, and I'm immersed in one now for GX Magazine. So,
can we talk about
you know how it is with us independent contractors? You know, we just sort of, it's like we're on to the next gig.
Yeah, I get you. So, what are you doing for GX?
I just had my sample magazines come in the mail. Hold on, and I'm going to open it up to see, okay, which one of my stories is in there. I do a lot of their legacy pieces, which I love doing, stories about a unit that's been in combat from the Spanish-American War to World War I, World War II. I did something on D-Day, and I've got something in the current issue on the Texas Guard, the Peapatchers. They went into Salerno in 1943, and they were just incredible.
Wow. Okay, so you're doing some history pieces on the Guard. That's kind of the stuff you do for GX mostly?
I do a mix. I do the legacy history pieces. I've done stuff on, you know, threats to national security, cyber warfare, and then I did a great story on this unbelievable Guard soldier who's got, I think he just got yet another Valor Award. He's something else. He's got 5 Bronze Stars. He was in combat in Iraq and Afghanistan. And I did a story about him when he got his 5th Bronze Star. And I wound up doing a cover story on his unit for Soldier of Fortune magazine last July on the battle for OP Nevada.
Hmm. Wow. Okay. So you're kind of writing for different magazines, but you've kind of tied some of the stories into each other, I guess, huh? Or you've just, by the research you've been able to generate more content.
Pretty much. Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. So I did the story for. Go on.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say I did the story for GX on the soldier, and then I took one of the battles he'd been in and wrote that up as a full-blown article for Soldier of Fortune.
Okay. Now, there's a lot of stuff going on right now currently, and there's some things you're tied into. So one of the things that I announced before you came on was that you are on the here I go again. You are
draft
on
board.
The draft board. Thank you. And and this whole thing came out today where the, I think it was a commandant of the Marines, some other senior leaders are going, you know, pushing Congress and some of the congressional briefings to you know, let women register in the draft, register in Selective Service. And, of course, we haven't done that since, you know, 60s and early 70s. But what are your thoughts on that from the draft? One, being a former military member yourself and of course, being a female, but also just as your role on the draft board, I guess, what opinions or insight do you have on that?
Well, you know, it's an interesting question, and it's one that came up when it became clear that all the combat arms slots were going to be open to women. The next question is, will we draft women? And it's a very serious question. And I think it's also a natural question to ask once we open up across the board all slots to females in the military. But, you know, as we all know, you know, combat is not for everyone. It's a really specialized, and not having been in combat myself, just having talked to a lot of war fighters, it's not something everybody naturally takes to. Yeah, am I right? I mean, it's
yeah.
Oh,
it's well, there's a lot of men that don't that don't cut it. I say all the time that bullets in the cold will separate men from the boys. Those two environments will do it. But and you know, quite honestly, at least my opinion is we don't need the draft anyways. We should never. I can't see of a situation we would ever need to implement the draft again. And I say that because one. If it ever gets that bad, I think Americans themselves will just stand up and serve and won't need to be pulled in by, you know, kicking and screaming. And two, we don't want people in there that don't want to be there, you know, but that's my personal opinion. But even so, I do feel that, yeah, if it's all going to be equal, if all the standards are going to be equal, then they should definitely sign up. Even, you know, the cutest little cheerleader or the bull dykiest looking short-haired one, it doesn't matter, right? You're even's even.
Well, but this opens up another question, which is what's actually driving this push to open up combat arms to women? And it's not mandatory. I mean, I think we all need to remember that, is that, you know, a woman who goes on to be, you know, a cook or whatever, she enlists, or, you know, she gets a commission and she wants to do essentially an office job. They are not going to be suddenly plucked out of their places and thrown into the front line. So it's not as if, you know, because the slots are open that everyone must be in them. But I think if we had an all-out, like, two- or three-front war where suddenly we have an overwhelming need for fighting power, yeah, they might be put in places where they didn't think they were going to go. But what percentage of women are actually asking for this? And I think we have to go back to what drove the whole move to open these positions up. And if you look at what the reasoning was that people were giving, it wasn't for the betterment of the force. It was not for the protection of the country. It wasn't about the army. It wasn't about making the Air Force stronger. It was about enabling women to get ahead and to have better promotion opportunities, which to me, that's not a reason that fits the mission of the armed forces.
Well, if you don't mind, Susan, I'd like to jump in here. And I'm probably going to become, like, largely unpopular and get a bunch of hate mail and evil text messages. But,
okay.
I've had amazing young women serve at my disposal, or I guess that's not the right word, or in support of me directly and indirectly. One where I rated one as a subordinate and one that was attached to me that had influence on her evaluations, and I was responsible for her counseling, her welfare. And they performed to the best of their capability under duress, and that was in combat, and I'm an infantryman, and I was an infantry leader at the time. I feel like no matter what, you made the comment, you know, if someone comes in and they become a cook, they become finance, whatever, you know, they're not going to get plucked from that job and placed in the front lines. Well, we learned in Iraq that, you know, it doesn't matter what your MOS is, in that kind of asymmetrical battlefield, the enemy's all around, and the majority of times that we'd come to rescue a convoy, it was involving, you know, a co-ed unit that, you know, their task was not combat. Their task was, you know, service support. And, you know, that's the nature of the battlefield. And, you know, on one hand, I'm really excited that the military is, you know, putting more emphasis on that kind of training to better the force, but at what's the expense? And like you said, who is driving that force? Now, is it because there's this overwhelming, you know, call within the rank and file, especially of the female demographic, to say, give us more opportunity. Like, we're not going to make it to general because, you know, we can only be in these certain classifications. The combat arms, well, you know, that's, you know, this great block of, you know, military occupational specialties is not the majority of the force. You know, and it surprises me that, you know, that's, you know, the justification, you know, to give this demographic, in essence, a leg up, if you will, or an advantage on everybody else. And it seems like that's almost, one, ironic, and two, like, it seems like it's more of a social experiment than a actual military necessity, like you just said. And within the command structure, a beautiful paper penned by the Sergeant Major from the Marine Corps that was responsible for overseeing and providing, you know, I love this Facebook post. He's like, I'm posting this with the understanding that I will not have a job in the morning because,
ooh,
you know, I don't know if you saw that or not, but, you know, he was the senior non-commissioned officer providing, or senior enlisted member of that task force and that panel providing, you know, like the adjudication and the auditing of what they feel like this is going to do it. And they overwhelmingly said, we do not want to open these roles. We do not want to do this. It's not for the betterment of the force, and it's at the detriment, you know, of the force. And yet that was ignored. And, you know, he, you know, had the courage, whether he's right or wrong, he had the courage to stand by and say, like, I gave my opinion. Here's this, you know, this is, they failed at all these measures, and yet they failed all these measures. They were approved. So it's such a hot spot. I'm personally of the belief that if you can meet the standard, you should be able to do the job. Just like I felt, you know, when they were talking about, you know, the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. No one in the infantry cared, at least in the units that I served with, you know, what someone's, like, sexual practice was. Most everybody was a weirdo in that group anyway. You know, so no one really cared. What they cared about is whether or not you could do your job. You could carry your ammo. You could carry your load. You knew your task. You were tactically proficient, and you got your point of domination and, you know, served your battle buddy and did your job. They didn't care what you did in the off time because that was irrelevant to what happened when you went through the door. And I feel like, you know, the majority of warfighters will accept that mentality in terms of, like, if you're capable, that's one thing. But if the standard's going to change to, you know, that's not acceptable because the enemy's not like, oh, all right, shoot slower, guys. She can't run as fast. Not saying that women are slow. I'm just using that as a horrible example of this is not, in my opinion, for the betterment to force it through. But if those are deserving, find a way to make them accepted.
Excellent points, and what I would like to add to that is, I personally believe that, you know, in the military especially, you need to play to your strengths, and there are particular strengths that, you know, that everybody class, you know, everybody has, and, you know, you infantry guys are, you know, you're the ones who go out there and protect the rest of us and do it at a high personal cost, and it's nothing to be trivialized. It's a very important, very serious job, and to hamper that by having someone who I think has good intentions, but who ultimately is going to, you know, to hold you back, is not doing anybody any favors. It's hurting all of us. But that said, you know, there have been wonderful wartime roles for women, actually, you know, in types of combat. I mean, you could take advantage of women's lightness. You can take advantage of a woman's ability to perhaps move unnoticed in enemy territory to a certain degree. I mean, women are incredible spies. I think World War II has shown us that women were marvelous spies and saboteurs, assassins, And these are all like valuable skills that help a country prevail in time of war. So, you know, if you get a woman who is very skilled at, you know, perhaps interrogation or at espionage, use her for that. You know, that's a wonderful skill, and we need it. But you know, like myself, for example, I'm 5'2", and you know, I'm sure that you know I could be really mean, you know, if pushed to the wall. But I'm sure not going to pick up, you know, a 75-pound pack and run headlong, you know, guns blazing at the enemy, because first of all, my combat load is just going to knock me down. Like I just won't be able to, physically. I won't be able to do it. But you know, I might be able. I might be able to do something else, you know.
So, I really think, you know, and it's so refreshing to hear you say this, Susan. And the reason why I say it's refreshing is because, you know, it's a realistic approach. And, you know, as everyone knows, I'm from Canada, and I came to the United States because I love the opportunity that America stands for. And that's, you know, if you're capable and you're willing and you put in effort, you can achieve. And, you know, that's like the great American dream. And, you know, I wouldn't want to, you know, withhold that or begrudge that to anybody for any reason, race, creed, religion, sex, you know, any of that. If you're willing and capable, you know, that opportunity, you know, should be there. However, I feel like the opportunity is, one, being forced, and it's irresponsibly being placed, and to accomplish an agenda, you know, like we're starting to finagle it. And, you know, this is maybe not the place to try it. Like, you know, if you want to try it on, like, a hockey team, great. You know, like, that's an interesting experiment. On the battlefield, you know, with lives. Now we're talking about the draft. And, you know, at first I was like, if they want to be equal, let them, everyone be equal. That's awesome. Like, all about equality. And I wasn't saying that and being mean. I was excited. Then, you know, I sat back after reading that article today and realizing that, hey, this, you know, is being pushed. You know, all I could think about is my just gorgeous 8-year-old daughter. And I hope that I look at her the way she is today for the rest of my life. That's probably going to be my biggest curse, is I'll always look at her the way she is now, as awesome and cute and bubbly and, you know, perfectly innocent and, you know, with just pure joy in her heart. And like, I don't want her to experience, you know, some of what I saw those young ladies experience in Iraq. And they, you know, it's just heartbreaking.
You bring up one good point, Toby, and it's something I've said a lot is, before we start experimenting and doing this on the battlefield, how about we do it on our ball fields, right? I think before our country embraces this, I've always said this, let's take it in steps, open up every professional sport and encourage and push women to be there. And if they can handle that, then we can talk about it. But I think combat, and I think lives depending on it, is a little bit more important, that we should be able to test it out in the corners on the rink or at the end of in the end zone or somewhere else, before we do it in the battlefield where people are living and dying based on it, you know.
I agree 100%. It's important, and it's not slamming women. It's not taking sides of, you know, the men versus the women. That's not it at all, because we're all in this together. But we each have our strengths and our vulnerabilities, and you know, as a woman, you know. All of my, like, ever since I was a teenager, you know, the health professionals say, hey, you have special needs for, you know, you need calcium, you need certain minerals, you know, you need iron, you need this, you need that. And why is that? It's because, you know, our bodies are fundamentally different. And women are, in their own right, you know, powerful, phenomenal athletes. You know, my own daughters, you know, are really athletic. And I would never ask them to try out for the NFL, because it's just not the same. It's not the same thing. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I think if we distill this down to what we were talking about earlier, that the true reason for this, not that there's a manpower shortage, not, or I guess we're supposed to call it a person power shortage now, because that's like a gender-specific term that the military wants to phase out. It's simply about offering promotion opportunities. And my response to that is, you know, if you're really, really concerned about, you know, your career and moving ahead in promotions, maybe you're better off in the corporate world, because it's a little more of a level playing field for you there. Like, it's just, you know, go to Walmart. You know, and I'm not being facetious or flip here. I'm just saying that if what you're interested in is personal success, the military really isn't for you, because it's about the unit, it's about the service, and it's about the country.
Yeah, yeah. You brought up another good topic there, just to go into something else, Susan, and that is this whole gender-specific or gender removal that's going on. I think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, I guess the Navy and Marines are doing that or something. The Air Force says they're not going to, and the Army, everyone's wondering, but they're if I'm right, please correct me, but I think they're removing every term, like infantryman is going to be infantry person and stuff like that. Are you tracking that or know much about it or following along with that and what's happened? I know I saw it a few weeks ago and I haven't heard much since.
I'm trying to decode what the latest interpretation is. However, I was pleasantly surprised to see that the Air Force is holding the line. I was like, wow, go Air Force. I would not have expected that of them. Like, now I'll be getting the hate mail from all the Zoomies out there, but I would have expected the Air Force to be the first, you know, to go along with this. They're not. And I feel like I'm watching some kind of a strange race here to see, you know, now who's doing what and, you know, what everyone's position is. But it looks as if Secretary Mabus is asking the services under his command to wipe out the gender-specific titles.
Yeah, well, so I mean, does that... Go ahead, Toby.
Well, Mabus is an interesting cat, and...
Well, that's a different term. I expected you to use something a little bit different, but that's good.
No, like I was about to call him something else, but like he is not a popular person with any of the commands that he represents. I mean, he's been attacked by like the commissioned senior commissioned side of the house. He's been attacked by the senior non-commissioned side of the house as not representing, you know, the best welfare or the betterment of the forces that he's like overseeing. He is like not a popular dude. And it's interesting, like, you know, obviously that's a politically appointed position versus, you know, like performancely earned. But wow, like, you know, it doesn't surprise me that he's coming with this, but it's like how much pushback. It's almost like the egg in this establishment leadership into like a fight with this politically appointed person. And that's just like, I hate using poking the bear, but like he's just walking into like a Bon Fuego with a couple of, you know, 50-gallon drums of like, you know, petroleum products. And he's like, who wants to play?
He is. And, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't McCain just rip into him? And a couple of others. You're right. He's like, to say he's not popular, really, that's an understatement. He's reviled, like, from what I can see. And he's got what? He's got 2 years of Cold War service. He was a SWO in the Navy from what, the early 70s, and he was on a frigate, I think. So he's not a long term military serving guy. And his background, I think he was in the State Department. He was ambassador, I think, to Saudi Arabia. He's a politician, and this, to me, seems like a move that is absolutely guaranteed to just make everybody throw up their hands and say, what is going on?
Whiskey, tango, foxtrot.
Yeah. He absolutely is... You know, there was questions about his qualification, and obviously, you know, there was a lot of political pressure in his nomination and appointment. But, like, there's no way that they could have a qualified military person in that position now because all the good qualified military people have all been forced out. just saying.
Yeah, they have.
Is that out loud?
Yes, they have. Yes,
so,
they have.
Speaking of, political clusters that have involved the military, you wrote a piece not too long ago about this young man, I almost called him something else, from Idaho that's been enjoying the luxurious accommodations in San Antonio, Texas, that's recently been relocated to the not-so-luxurious Fayetteville, North Carolina. A guy by the name of Bo Bergdahl. How do you see that starting to play out? Because obviously there's been a lot of political pressure. There's been, a lot of, let's wait and see what happens. I mean, I feel like America's been on bated breath, for quite some time. It seems like now there's some forward progress. Like, how do you see that playing out as someone that, early on in the story gave it some pretty solid coverage?
I was actually, and I'm speaking again just like me as an independent, I'm not speaking on behalf of any people I've written for. I was intrigued by this story from the beginning just because I wrote about the POWs and that has been a long-standing interest of mine. So this guy disappears under mysterious circumstance, and I was really fascinated to know what was the story. Was the guy, was he captured unwillingly? Was he a defector? The only thing we all knew is that he was missing in action. And then he's traded for an unbelievable deal is made for him. And it looks to me from everything we've seen that the guy walked away. Like that he left his unit. He deserved. I mean, he's admitting he left his unit. He deserted in wartime. But it's also becoming very clear that he was not what I would interpret, and I'm using my words carefully here, I would not interpret him as a perfectly balanced guy. Okay, so he was off the charts, and the stuff that he was writing about and stuff that he was saying just raised a lot of questions, about his state of mind and his stability. What I find absolutely fascinating is that General Abrams has come out and made a very strong recommendation that maybe you guys know some background on and could fill us in on.
Well, wow. Nice spin up there. General Abrams has he recommended the case to go to general court-martial from special court-martial, which is now why the young man is in Fort Bragg. As the Force Comm commander, it fell on his lap when General Milley went up to be the chairman. So, and of course, General Abrams is the Force Comm commander at Fort Bragg, so the case is there. And since you bring that up, I guess we will go ahead and announce our big announcement tonight with about 10 minutes left. That, yes, coming up in 2 weeks on February 16th, we will have the first and only exclusive interview with General Robert Abe Abrams, the Force Comm commander. We have been working on this for a long time, and General Abrams will be coming onto the show here to talk with Nun and myself. You have not seen him anywhere else since he has done the since this whole Bergdahl thing has happened, and you probably won't see him anywhere else for a while. But we were able to secure a great opportunity to interview him and talk with him. So, we'll kind of like Susan and you with People Magazine and your stuff. But we'll see what we can talk and not talk about. We definitely don't want to put anything in jeopardy on the case. We've already seen in the news where Bergdahl's lawyers are saying they're going to subpoena Trump and this and that, whatever. We don't want to do anything to put that case in jeopardy, but we are very excited to have him come on this show and be the only outlet that he'll be talking to. So we'll see what we can find out then, that's for sure.
That is a phenomenal. Wow. You guys got General Abrams on your show.
That's how we roll. Maybe you didn't know
that. You got
that.
The commander of force. Wow, you guys rock. That's just amazing.
There's a plethora of things that we're excited to talk to the ForceCom commander about, and that's something that everyone wants to hear about. But you know, this is such an exciting transitional time. Within the forces, like the topics that we're talking to you about tonight, Sue, this is great stuff, to hear it right from the leadership. We're tickled pink to be selected. It's been quite the selection process, but it's just an absolute honor, and we're gonna do what we can to do right by all those that have questions. We're excited because everyone knows that you can be in our chat room, you can tweet us, you can do all this stuff. And, when we have our own questions, but we really, want to honor the opportunity, for all our listeners and fans that, we want to honor them with their questions as well. So we're really excited to bring this. We're excited to have this interview. It's kind of a big deal.
Huge deal. Oh, it's a huge deal. Wow. I will be listening in. I will be listening in. I'll probably be tweeting questions while I'm listening. I'll say, ask him this.
Yeah, we're going as you can imagine, just like we've had other, our time will be, we're going to be pretty tight. So you'll probably, if you tune in, will hear Toby and I be the most professional you've ever heard because we have to have our shit wired tight, right? That's just no other way to put it.
We won't be drinking. There'll be no drinking games.
Okay, no drinking
games.
So
the Jack Daniels is off the table, even for those of you who don't drink the Jack Daniels. That's gone out there.
Yeah, we're going to have to be. Our fanboys got to be cut down. We're going to be pointed. We got to get questions in, get them answered, because I know we won't get him on for a whole hour, even though when we've talked to him before on our past show, we got him a lot longer. But, he's in a position now. He's actually going to be traveling that night, so we're not even sure, if we're going to be talking to him while he's in the air or just getting into somewhere. So it'll be, we're going to be covering a lot of information quick, for sure.
You guys are so connected. Troy, you were the one who hooked me up with Madison Rising all those years ago. I think you were at a Milblog conference, and I think you told them, you got to talk to Susan. And I got this phone call, and the next thing I know, these guys are my best friends. I went on tour with them this summer, by the way.
Yeah, you said that. How did
that
go? Yeah.
Oh, that was such a blast. That was so much fun. We went from city to city. We were at Fort Bragg, we were at Lejeune, we were at, a couple of places in South Carolina, we were in Virginia Beach. It was like being with a rock band on tour. Every day we would wake up, get ready to travel to the next site, spend the day on the road and fall into wherever we were camped out for the night and do rehearsals, do the setup, have the show. And then after the show, everybody would retreat and go have a good time and talk and knock back a few. Pete Hegseth was with us. But it was just so much fun. It was really just a fabulous time, and they're wonderful guys.
Yeah, so you were on the Concerned Veterans of America tour with them then.
Yes, I was. Yep, that was it.
It's so neat to hear that. Dave was our inaugural guest when we restarted the show, the very first guest of the Stew and the Nun. And he's such a contact. And he's such a great patriot, truly from the heart. That's, why the name of the band is that. They're true to it. And it's always great to hear other people say great things about people you admire and respect and are out there doing good things, because, a lot of times in the music industry and, with celebrities as such, it's so disappointing because people are like, music is great. He's a jerk. Or, she makes amazing movies. What a bitch.
Right.
So
no, they're great. They're just so normal, down-home people. Yeah. And between the towns, you know, riding in this van. You know, we're playing games to pass the time. We're playing guessing games and word games and just being insanely silly. And it was really fun. I was sorry to say goodbye, but I had to go on board an aircraft carrier, so I had to ditch those guys.
Well, that's right. I forgot about, you know, like I live vicariously through you on Facebook a lot of times. I forgot all about your time on the aircraft carrier. How was that? I mean, I know we only got about a minute and a half to talk, but, like, how was that? That was, like, neat experience or, you know?
Oh, yeah,
those are impressive vehicles.
It was unbelievable. Like, doing the tail hook, everything from the tail hook landing to, you know, a couple of days of, it felt like we were there for 2 weeks, but it was really only 2 days. And, you know, just constantly on the go, climbing up and down those steps and seeing, you know, the amazing work that all these young sailors, male and female, do under just, you know, really tight, strict conditions. You know, they're all crammed together on this ship, and they're just all doing their thing. And very impressive, very impressive young people we have in our Navy based on that ship. And then was catapult or you know, shot off the deck, you know, which was really fun. I've never experienced anything like that before, and I want to do it again, actually.
Well, that's super cool. I'm a speed freak, so I've enjoyed the catapult off. But Susan, we really appreciate you coming on. Thank you so much for taking your time to come on with us tonight. There's so much we didn't get to, but we'll have you on again if you don't mind. Look forward to hearing from you next week, in 2 weeks, and your questions, and hopefully, you know, we'll get one in there for you.
Thank you guys so much. Wow, the time has just gone, just zipped by, and I'd love to come back. And as always, it's like absolutely fantastic talking to you both. You're just like lots of fun to talk to. And thank you for having me.
Yeah, definitely have you back. It does. An hour goes by quick, you know, or 50 minutes, 45 minutes.
It
shoots by, yeah. That's why if you haven't, I know you and I talked about it, and for any of our listeners, if you haven't listened to our interview with Jason Amerine that we had several months back, it's a little long. It's an hour 50. We really went over, but it flew by. And I think the content is so good that that'll go by for you quick, too. So make sure you go back and check that out on blogtalkradio.com/StuInTheNun. Because
I will listen to that. Yeah, I'm a big fan of his as well. So, yes, I will make sure I listen to that.
Yeah, we got him. We got Dave Bray. We got Jim Bohansen. I mean, you name it. I mean, we only invite the cool kids to come talk to us. And that's why you're
on. This is like the family. It's old home week. This is great.
It is.
And I didn't even have to leave. I didn't have to drive. This is cool. Thanks so much, guys.
And
you're welcome.
And we're drinking all in one. So, Susan, thank you so much for coming on, and we look forward to seeing you tune in a couple weeks, and hopefully every week when you get a chance, and you know, shoot us anything you got, and I'm sure we'll stay in touch pretty tight.
Awesome. Sounds good. Thanks, guys. Have a good night.
Yep. You have a good night, too.
Bye.
All right.
Always a pleasure to have a friend on, and it's always exciting to see him on great things, and man, does time go fast.
Yeah, it does. So we got about a minute left, man. So what do you got?
Well, I want to foreshadow a poop that's coming up, and excited to see that the election race is getting closer and tighter. Foreshadowing for that, look forward on a future episode to hear more about my thoughts and views on the caucus, and that's all I got.
All right, yep. And you guys heard it here. You heard it here first. If you're listening in, we'll be putting out a lot more. Help us spread the word. The exclusive interview with General Robert Abe Abrams. We are so excited about that. Remember, he is a Force Comm commander. The guy had memes made about him. You know, people want him for president, so on and so forth, and that's all great. But he is a commander. He's a military leader, and we are so excited to have him on there. So please let everyone know. We're lining up some great guests next week, and then we got General Abrams on in 2 weeks, and we got a lot more after him. So everyone, hey, thank you. No rants tonight. We're just so stoked about the news. I got nothing to rant about. So want to thank you all for joining us, and we look forward to talking to you all next week here on Stu and the Nun Radio. Everybody have a great night. Toby, you have a good one, buddy.
Good night, everybody.